Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast, and I am so excited to get to share this listener and host favorite episode with you. There are very few episodes that I have shared more than once, but today's conversation is one I am sharing again without any apologies. It's one that I have personally listened to over and over. And here's the thing. Most of us parents, I would say just about everybody listening, I can assume, wants your kids to grow up to be successful, to have great relationships, to have a good job, to have open doors, to do the things that you dream of for them. But what we need to remember is the importance of the character we're instilling in our kids today and how closely that is tied to the person that they're going to become and their future success and happiness. Well, today's guest, Dennis Tretien, does such a great job of tying all of that together for us. I think you'll enjoy hearing about Dennis's background in wealth management and how he used his years managing multi-million dollar portfolios to study this connection between people's character and what made them successful. And now he teaches parents and he helps us motivate our kids to connect the dots between their character now and their future success. I just think you're going to love this. And no doubt the timing for this episode is pretty sweet because next week, October 21st, I will be opening the doors to my character training course. I will just open the doors for 1 week. Once you're in, you have lifetime access. You can go at your own pace, so you don't even have to start it right away. But I will be opening the doors for 1 week. Dennis Tretien has an interview in that character training course, and he also shares a really valuable download. We'll be mentioning that in today's conversation, but it's been a favorite part of the course. So if you enjoy today, you're going to love the course. It has so much more in it as well. And in show notes, I will be linking to the character training course page where you can learn more about it. And show notes can be found at monicaswanson.com/character-and-success. Okay, you can also always find all of the podcast show notes at monicaswanson.com/podcast. And now without further ado, here's Dennis Tretien and I talking about how we can prepare our kids for a successful future by helping them develop great character today. I hope you're encouraged. Well, hey, Dennis, welcome to the podcast.
Monica, it is great to be with you.
I've been so looking forward to this conversation. And I'm going to tell people how I met you after you introduce yourself. But can you start off by telling people a little about your background and who you are and what you do?
You bet. Well, grew up in Wisconsin in a small town called Kimberly, just south of Green Bay, and then ultimately moved out to Washington State to get my MBA. And that's where I met my wife, ultimately raised two kids, Michael, who's now 30, and Lauren is 25. From a career standpoint, I lived the dream at Russell Investments. I was director of research and then lead portfolio manager. During my tenure there, I managed about $40 billion of assets for clients all around the world. And what was so unique about that company and experience was it allowed me to research leaders from all around the world. That was what Russell did. And I was one of the lead people in that effort. And when I was 53 years old, I had this great leadership background and my heart was always been for kids. And the Lord really led me into a whole new Encore career of training up the next generation with the leadership principles that that I've come to know through my research and my living. And that's led me to become an author and a publisher and a speaker on all things getting kiddos ready to be amazing adults and helping the families get them to that place.
Awesome. I love that. We're going to be linking to a number of your books, but today we're going to talk a little bit about a book you wrote called What I Wish I Knew at 18, Life Lessons for the Road Ahead. And it's been, what year did this come out? I don't remember.
It came out in 2011.
Okay. I think it must have been shortly thereafter that my mom heard you speak. You go to the same church as my parents when they're in Gig Harbor. We love our Pastor Mark Toon. We'll do a little shout out. And my mom heard you speak there, I believe, and sharing about your book a little bit. And she came to Hawaii and she brought all of my boys a copy of the book. And I just was so impressed because everything you shared in it was just stuff I wanted my boys to know. And, you know, the two older boys were getting into their teenage years then. And so I was so encouraged, but I'm laughing because as I pulled out the book, I wanted to bring you on today, talk a little bit about your chapter on character. And I'm looking at this book. I'm going to put pictures in the show notes, but this is Jonah's copy I'm looking at. And Jonah has it highlighted and marked up, underlined. And I just love because he got so much out of this. And so Jonah's had you on his Truth for Youth podcast as well. So I'll link to that in show notes. That's super fun. But will you just tell us a little bit about your heart for character? I mean, we know a little about your background now, but give us just a little bit more about why you love to talk about character.
Well, actually, it was interesting when I developed the pointers. I call them life success pointers in What I Wish I Knew at 18. I had to sequence them. And I thought, okay, well, the first chapter has to be on life perspective. I mean, how do we approach the life that we have? But then I went right into character as chapter two, which tells you how important I think it is. The thing that's so great about character is it's really our internal guiding light. It is the core of who we are. It's the essence of our personal brand. And I like to talk with kids about brands. They're aware of brands of the different companies that of products they're aware of and so forth. But we have our own personal brand. And those are those values and qualities that we impart to others. And so when you think about character, it really influences everything from our value system, our attitudes, our standards of excellence that we hold ourselves to, the priorities that we assign in our life, the choices that we make, and the relationship qualities that we have with others. So it permeates everything. And so if we don't get character right, we are not going to get life right.
Wow. I couldn't agree more. And I love that. And I think you communicate it so well. So I'm excited. We're going to just dive in and cover, I think, five, if we can get to all five pointers from your book. Will you just kick us off and dive in?
Oh, absolutely. Well, one of the first things I think is really important is that oftentimes where character gets off is because we don't have a good definition of what a successful life looks like. So it starts from that. And there's a pointer in my book that's called Don't Define Success by Riches. And oftentimes the way we define success in life will govern how we live our life. So we have to get that right. And in What I Wish I Knew at 18, in this pointer, I listed a quote from a lady named Bessie Stanley back in 1905. That is absolutely just as true today as it was back then. And I'll read a snippet of it. He has achieved success who has lived well, laughed often, and loved much, who has gained the respect of intelligent men and the love of little children, who has filled his niche and accomplished his task, who has left the world better than he found it, whether by an improved poppy, a perfect poem, or a rescued soul, who has never lacked appreciation of Earth's beauty or failed to express it, who has always looked for the best in others and given them the best he had, whose life was an inspiration, whose memory a benediction. So for those of you who get what I wish I knew at 18, that might be one of the most important pointers of all. Because in her definition, long, long ago, there are so many aspects of character that are embedded, and it would make for great family conversations about what our family's mission is, what values do we hold, how do we define success as a family, and how to and as individuals. So we love getting it off to a good start, and that is how we define a successful life.
Oh, I love that so much, especially because of all the messages that are out there. You know, if you're on social media, certain channels of social media, you're going to get a different message. And if kids grow up just following whatever the culture tells them, they're going to hear something different about what success is. So I think for parents to be intentional about defining for them what is success, I love that so much. Okay, take us to number two.
Oh, second one is a wonderful one. It's called preserve your reputation and integrity at all costs.
Oh, so good.
and I share in that there are really few things in life that we would struggle at if we lose. One of the things that we've seen in so many cases is people who kind of give up on integrity, their reputation gets damaged, and it's very difficult to recover from that. So integrity, when I give talks to different business groups and things like that and ask them what is the number one quality that they look for in an employee, inevitably they will say it has to start with integrity. That is that is a non-starter issue. If they don't perceive that, they will not hire. So when we talk about preserving your reputation, it's guarding that personal brand. And one of the sayings that I just love that really captures it is that you may not always be loved or liked, but you must always be trusted. Mm-hmm. And when I worked for Russell Investments, we had a corporate culture that was just second to none. And our chairman and chief executive officer, George Russell, used to say that if you're not sure whether or not to do something, imagine it in that it's in the headline of tomorrow morning's newspaper. And he would come up with simple things like this that really were these little filters that I would keep in my head and other employees too to really measure that. So how do we impart integrity with our children? First of all, and especially when our kids are getting ready to leave off on their own, there are some prevention things. So we talk about what are some situations where your integrity may be challenged. And it could be test taking. It could be going to a party. It could be hanging out with kids that you're not sure you share the common values with. Well, the easiest way to stay true to your integrity is prevent those situations happening. But also, in some cases, they come at us as a surprise. So what we'll want to do as families is talk around the dinner table about situations that may come up. How would you handle this particular situation? And it wouldn't be very difficult for parents to come up with some really great examples of that. And then the last pointer I would just share on integrity that's super helpful is we like to say to take the integrity challenge. And that is for the next day, don't say something about someone else that you would regret if they heard.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. That is a game changer. And that includes on social media. It includes, when you're talking with friends, et cetera. Try it for a day. And your kids will be amazed at how the words will start and then they'll hold back because violates the integrity challenge.
Wow.
And then extend it to a week and to a month and so forth. And a great thing is have the whole family do this. Talk about where we messed up. Talk about how it's going. But if we abide by that integrity challenge, we are set in a very good place.
My goodness, I love that so much. And I think it's fun. You make it a challenge. Boys are going to want to be in on it. So I love that.
Yes.
No, that is so good. And if any of us have spent time with someone, sometimes you just come across someone and you're like, I can't remember ever hearing that person say something bad about someone. And that's the person you're going to trust because they wouldn't say something bad about you. And so I am just drawn to people like that and definitely want to be someone like that. So, that's a good one for our kids. Integrity is huge. huge. And I love that part of your book. There's a bunch more in there too that is so worth reading. Okay, keep going. This is so good.
Okay, so the next one is surround yourself with positivity. And it really picks up on what you just shared, Monica, because what we want to do in life is surround ourselves with positive influences. And our influences can be people. It can be the music we listen to, the movies and shows we watch. It can be a lot of things that we take in as individuals that that really have an impact on who we are. And of course, with kids, you know, as they get into the teen years and certainly later, peer influences become greater. So surrounding yourself with uplifting people, people that share your values, share your same standards, will hold you accountable when you slip up, just as you will with them. You have that trust relationship with them. There's a saying you may have heard that you become the average of the five or so people that you hang out with the most.
Yes, yes.
And so you want to be really, really choosy. And it's a great message, you know, to impart to your kids. And I always talk about my daughter, Lauren, who is, to my knowledge, the greatest friend picker I've ever met. And, you know, what is it that she does? She has her own, like a BFF filter in her head, where if she feels like she has to change who she is in order to fit in with someone or a group, she'll just take a pass.
Wow.
And she wants to be the authentic her and not have to feel like she has to change that, in order to fit in. And so I always share the importance of that, having kids think about what are the most important qualities they look for in a friend, and then have that in your mind as you're going off in these new places like Jonah is at Westmont, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Okay, he's got all kinds of strangers. Who's mm-hmm. meant to be Jonah's new best friends? Well, Jonah's going to be choosy because he's been trained that way.
Because he read your book.
Well, he's been parented very well too.
Thank you.
But it's just great, great common sense for people.
Oh, I love that. And one thing, because I have a whole chapter in Boy Mom also on influence and the importance of influences in our kids' lives. And one thing I wanted to be clear on is that my message wasn't that kids shouldn't have friends who aren't, you know, highest standard in every way, because, you know, they're going to be in school with, on sports teams, have neighbors. And so I wanted to be clear, they can be kind and friendly to everyone, but those people that they bring into their core group of friends that they really hang out with and spend time with and open up to, those are the ones you really want to be picky. And it's worth it for your future. So I couldn't love that anymore. Thank you for that one. Okay.
Yeah.
You got a couple more?
You bet. Next one I love, and it's called Give Everything Your Best. And oh, what a message this is for kiddos, because, you know, when you ask them to clean up their room, sometimes you'll have someone that, you know, makes it sparkly clean, and others, you know, they throw things in a corner and think mm-hmm. and call that good. So there's a quote from Helen Keller that I include in What I Wish I Knew at 18 on this point that I love. And she says, "I long to accomplish great and noble tasks, but my chief duty is to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble." And, you know, I think about that, and I think about boot camp in the military and how, you know, they have to get people to have such incredible standards, you know, the way they make their beds, the way they do anything. But, you know, if we have high standards of excellence, that's going to permeate all we do, and it should. And I think that's really what Helen's message is. And what I shared, though, in this pointer is the importance of modeling this when you're in a team situation, because it's one thing if we're doing something by ourselves that will only affect ourselves. It's another thing if we're a part of a team, and that could be a sports team, it could be a project team at school, could be a business team at work, whatever that is. You have to set that bar even higher when you're in a team environment, because your teammates are depending upon you. And so giving everything your best is important, whether it's individually, but especially more so even when you're in a team situation.
Oh, that is so good. And I think, you know, families are ultimately your own little team. And I think for us, we try to point this out when kids are just doing their chores. You know, the rest of us are depending on you. If you're the dish guy this week and we have someone over, we're going to count on you to do your best and not just what you have to do. Don't just get it done, but do it well. And I think my boys have kind of put that positive peer pressure on one another when it comes to the family team and just being excellent about things. So that is so good. I love it.
Love it.
Hey friends, since my book, Becoming Homeschoolers, released last May, and my online course, The Well-Rounded Homeschooler, came out this last summer, I have loved hearing from so many people who took my advice and checked out diveintomath.com for their kids' math and science curriculum. Kids love this curriculum because the lessons are short, but packed with everything they need, and if they stay on top of things, they have a four-day school week. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours, and he teaches everything from a biblical perspective, and we also love that he prepares kids well if they want to go to college. Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2 teach every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which is really important if kids want to keep that door open to go to college. Now, Dr. Shorman also teaches his math based on John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. My boys took math and science from Dr. Shorman through Dive Into Math through the AP level, and they say that this helped them get into college and also transition smoothly in their college classes, which were mostly math and science. Go over to diveintomath.com. Check it out. I think you're going to love what you find there.
So the last point I wanted to touch on before we get into, you know, key character traits and how do we decide which character things to focus on and all of that is called solicit and embrace constructive feedback.
And
the interesting thing about character is that it affects not only our values, but also our productivity. And I don't think people totally always realize that. And so one of the things that I know was for me the key to my success in my work at Russell. And that was always striving to get feedback from other people. What did I do well that I should keep doing that way? Where are some areas where I can up my game? And that's the way I wouldn't say, you know, where am I weak? I would say, where can I up my game? It's a more comfortable way of looking at it because we are all people designed to grow. And so one of the things that in many cases is our best source of growth is getting constructive feedback on some things that we may be doing or attitudes, the way we communicate, whatever it is, where we need to sharpen our game. And that feedback is invaluable. Most young people, though, they love all the compliments in the world, but if we give them constructive feedback, oftentimes they really, I don't want to say wither from that, but it becomes a big deal.
Yes.
And it shouldn't. So seek it out. And then it takes the sting out of getting corrected. Because if you actually ask for the feedback, you're giving that other person that permission. And you do this throughout life. And it is the shortest cut to success that I can think of.
Oh my goodness. Amazing. I love that so much because if other people aren't doing it and you're asking, that's going to make you stand out right away to a boss or a teacher or whatever. Oh, so good. Ask for it. I love that.
Absolutely. And I know in my career, I was an investment person, but I also wanted to help in the sales area because so many of my best friends there were in sales. And I knew if I could help them, we would help the company, but I would help my best buds with getting a neat commission check, right?
Yes.
So it was wonderful. And through those years, I did all these presentations and they gave me all of this feedback. And that really affected the value the company placed in me. And it was only through that implementing this pointer that I was able to get to that place.
But let's just agree, it's got to be hard at the beginning, that first time asking, like how uncomfortable that is.
It is. But if you look at it from the standpoint of there are two ways that I can improve. One is I can continue to grow my strengths, or I can reduce the impact of my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And either way, they are going to allow me to grow. And so you almost look at it, you kind of take your ego out of it, and you just look at it from the standpoint of kind of dispassionately, what does it take for someone to grow? Well, growing my strengths, addressing my weaknesses. Okay, so let's talk about that with all the key influencers in my life, coaches and things like that. And if I seek it out, like I said, it takes the sting out of, you know, the coach, you know, bringing me into the room and, you know, telling me all the things that I need to work on. I'm seeking that out. And a coach would love you for demonstrating that attitude.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And this is really about humility. And I'm thinking, just as you're talking, I'm just imagining how amazing if families could practice this together and say, hey, son, every day, once a week, have a team meeting, whatever it might be. And I'm going to challenge you to say, hey, mom, dad, where can I improve? Like, just practice it with mom and dad, and mom and dad can do the same. I mean, I'm homeschooling my kids, and I can say to my little fifth grader, Levi, how can I better help you with your math? Like, why not just model that as parents and then train our kids to practice it in the family setting? They're going to get more comfortable. It's like a muscle, like anything. And then they will be more likely to get comfortable doing it in friendships and in, you know, sports and in jobs. Oh, that is so solid.
Absolutely.
Okay, so next we are going to go into talking about some of the key character traits that you talk about. Would you just dive in, tell us a little bit about your top character traits and a little bit about how you came up with those?
Yeah, so that's a great time to take a deep dive in this, because I think one of the things about character that makes it a little bit challenging is it is so broad in terms. And so one day I sat down and I wrote down my laundry list of all the character qualities and, you know, traits that I could think of. And then I grouped them into different buckets. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me in kind of organize my thinking about just how broadly diverse character is, and kind of giving me a roadmap of how to do it. And part of your character training course, there is a link, I believe, in there to a document I prepared, a resource called Positive Traits and Values.
Yes.
And in that document, I actually came up with five different categories of character. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that we touch on each of these categories as we go about growing the character in our family. And so some qualities are what I call heart-related. Their kindness, their sincerity, their compassion, their friendliness. They come from the heart. Others are integrity-related. So things like honesty, trustworthiness, respect, honor, tact, things like that are all a part of integrity. Another category is productivity-related. How reliable are we? How high are our standards? How productive are we? How disciplined are we? How resourceful are we? These are all character traits. But again, we don't always think of them as the same as maybe kindness. And they aren't. They're different. Another category is spiritually related. And that can include things like gratefulness, faith, contentment, humility, modesty, dignity, things like that, just super important. And then the final category, I call it personal nature related. I couldn't come up with a better label. Cheerful, positive, self-confidence, good-humored, sociable, expressive, politeness, cooperativeness. And you see, when you look at character as a large category, it really is very different when you go across the different categories. So we put together that resource to give families a roadmap and to also, as a family, kind of talk about the different types of character qualities, which ones we might want to focus on this week. We can have a character quality of the week where all of us kind of focus on, let's say it's respect. Okay, so this is our week of respect. Everyone, let's focus on that. Let's talk at the dinner table about examples that we lived out today that demonstrated respect. Mm-hmm. And over the course of a year, you can really cover a lot of these territories. Situational Ethics is also great. So you can take a quality like respect and then come up with here is a situation. How does that look when it comes to respect, and how might we have handled it in a more respectful way? So I came up with my top eight character traits, my top eight that I just think are the most important, and they are kindness, compassion, gratitude, integrity, grit, intrinsic motivation, other-centeredness, and a commitment to excellence. And those are my eight, but you know what, Monica? I bet you would come up with a different set of eight.
Yeah.
Probably some overlaps. But that's what's so fun about using a resource like this and to then proactively model it within our families.
Mm, I love that. And I will list those, your eight, in the show notes. And people who took the course have said that that download was really helpful to them, especially as they introduced their kids to just what character is all about and why they're working on this and what they're going for. It just helped, I think, the kids wrap their brains around what mom and dad were talking about in this thing of character. So I love how you've categorized them. And I think that's super helpful. And I think it's kind of fun for people to decide as a family, even, you know, you've mentioned brand and even the family brand. What are our family's key character qualities? What are we seeking out? And, you know, find some things. And like you said, focus on one a week or one a month. And how, just what a fun way to approach it. Super good stuff.
Absolutely. And just a final thought on different parenting strategies that, you know, that we can all use. I mentioned situational opportunities to kind of discuss that character trait of the week. Initiate opportunities where your character is being demonstrated, and put your children in situations where their character can be expressed. And it's just, in the end, remember, the kids will do what you praise. And I think as parents, we get so commonly caught up in praising the outcome, praising the grade, praising the tangible and result, as opposed to praising the, you know, the character qualities that led to it. And so, you know, they'll do what we praise them for. So
yes,
we all have to become more praise focused when it comes to character.
Totally. Yep. No, I love that. And I love it because, like you said, most of us do a lot of praising, but to pull back and go, what is it we're praising? Are we praising the grade, or are we praising all the effort it took to get there?
Yes.
You know, are we praising the win for the team, or the fact that you really had to struggle to get to that win? Or even if you lost, let's look at the what went into that game or the practice and focus on that. I think that's huge. I love it. And again, it just takes us as parents being tuned in and really intentional about the things we're noticing. And then I love you talked about situational, but this just makes me think too about the idea of, again, sharing from our own lives around the dinner table. Share a story from your day where you were challenged, where your character was challenged, and how you handled it. Even if you blew it, you can tell that story as something that you want to grow in, how you want to do better next time. And I think that the more we share examples from our own life, our kids are learning, and they may not even show you at the time, but they're taking notes. So, oh, that is all so good. Well, Dennis, there's a whole bunch more, of course, in the character training course with you. And I've appreciated so much what you shared. It was definitely a favorite for those who have taken the course. And I'm sure if those who are listening are able to get into the course, they're going to enjoy so much learning from your wisdom and your experience, and also from your book, What I Wish I Knew at 18, which I will be linking to in show notes. Oh, well, Dennis, thank you again so much. We are going to send everybody to where they can find you and your website. And so just appreciate so much your time being with us today.
You bet. Well, thanks so much, Monica, for having me, and congratulations on those kids that you're raising.
Thanks so much. All right, guys, I hope you took some good notes and you're super fired up to get to work with your kids today on their character development. I will have show notes as well as links to the character training course waitlist sign up, Dennis's books, all the rest over in show notes, which can be found at monicaswanson.com/character-and-success. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and until next time, aloha.
ADA 8% of the workweek is spent communicating. typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.